We're verifying that we are, quote, rolling, which is an old term. Well, he's getting that going. And as soon as I get the A-OK, Michael, you can get started.
Okay.
Okay, let's just assume things are good.
Okay, then I will call the meeting to order at 5:30 p.m. on, what is today? The 9th, all day. November 9th. With introductions, I am Michael Ryu, committee chair. Dick?
What is it?
Okay, can you say your full name to do the full introduction?
Dick Cagle.
Jane Barnwell.
Darn, thank you.
Minda Stiles, member.
Okay, and Martha?
Martha Windsor, alternate.
Okay, Ryan?
Hi, I'm Ryan. I'm the city council liaison.
Okay, and Beth, sorry.
Beth Young, staff liaison.
All right, and with that, we'll call roll call and introductions done. Move on to the approval of the minutes.
I don't have minutes. We're going to have to approve them next month.
No problem. Then we can jump right onto public comment. Marie, so that's you.
Hi. Actually, my public comment was the paper that was submitted on Ocean View that should be in all of your packets. I did think that I would mention three pedestrian-related situations that I've had since during this summer. Just so you all, this is your focus. So tonight I was driving on Ocean View Drive this evening, and I was headed towards 101 northbound. And there was a jogger.
Marie, could you say where you live approximately on Ocean View?
Oh, I'm sorry. On Northwest 33rd Street.
Nice area.
Claire? I don't know. Go ahead.
And so there was a jogger right on Ocean View using the pavement. He was in between that little road up to Walmart and where the crest of the hill is up there towards 15th, I think it is. So, you know, I'm a pretty alert driver. So I saw him, he was alert. He kind of jogged into somebody's yard a little bit to get away from me. But you know, people are using Ocean View Road for exercise. That was the point. And then there was a dark night. I had a fright because I was going southbound on 101, turned off onto Ocean View, continuing southbound, and I was almost to Northwest 33rd right before, as I come around that kind of blind curve towards 33rd Street, on the right hand side was someone who was walking, and they were completely in dark clothing, and I didn't expect to see them there. And as you know, there's almost no edge or room for someone to walk there with the bushes. And my heart just leaped, because what if I had been a little too far over? I could have hit them with my mirror or something. They obviously weren't with it, unlike the jogger. And so it would have been on me. And I saw them, but it was pretty scary. And then the last thing is, my car broke down earlier this summer, and I took an Uber or a Lyft to get back here after I left it at the mechanic. And he was driving me back, so he would have been driving northbound on Ocean View Drive. And he was going pretty much at the speed limit, which, as you all know, is 35 miles an hour, which, in my opinion, is too quick, too fast. He was approaching the crosswalk at Agate Beach Wayside. And so he's headed down the hill, and then the crosswalk is kind of right at the bottom there before you start going up again. And there were some people on the right-hand side, like they were getting ready to cross. And all of a sudden, three small young children dashed into the middle of the roadway, and he hit the brakes. And he was quite flustered. He was very upset, and he was just like, totally didn't understand that that could have happened. And nowadays, it seems like that happens a lot more. I don't know what, but parents, I don't know. The parents did not have their children with them to cross the road. They dashed into the road before the parents or before the adults. So that was pretty scary. So those are my three personal encounters with pedestrians on Ocean View Drive. And I did review your maps, and I was quite surprised, the ones that you sent out with this meeting. And the last thing I have to say is I was quite surprised to see that there might be some link for walkers or bikes between Yaquinahead Outstanding Natural Area and Ocean View Drive, which it said potential. So it doesn't sound like it's a thing yet, but I just want to say that sounds fantastic. Yaquinahead Outstanding Natural Area is so close to this location. It would be fantastic to be able to walk or bike there. But obviously with the highway, that's not possible. So thank you very much for reading my notes and for listening.
Thank you, Marie.
And if you don't mind, I'll stay on and listen to your meeting, but I'll probably just turn my camera off.
Great. And everybody,
you're of course welcome to.
Please do read what Marie wrote. These are, stop me if I'm wrong, Marie, but these are notes that she made for herself when she spoke to City Council. She spoke to them last Monday. And can you tell us how that went, Marie?
Well, it was kind of a lot. It was more nerve-wracking than talking to you folks. So I'm glad to be here. I don't know why, but it was. That day, I had that incident, and then I went to City Hall and found out that there was a meeting, and I was informed that it would be really best to tell City Hall that, and I just needed to get all my thoughts together really quickly. So that pretty much is what I told them, what is written in that statement. I was quite shaken about the fact that I could have been hit by that Mustang that was going way, way too fast around that corner. And that's what led me to speak out about all of this.
Marie, can I jump on that? After you came into City Hall, I drove that. I went into your neighborhood and then pulled out onto Ocean View to see what it was like. And Ocean View people, they kind of come from the left and from the right. They have very short sight lines because they're curving into that where that intersection is, and they're curving in from the other side, and they're going 35 miles an hour, and it might be a cold, dark, rainy, windy night, and it's crazy how, you know, if they're going faster than 35 or even 35, they could easily hit something that's there or somebody that's there. It's very scary. I didn't realize what a dangerous intersection that was. And then Marie had that near accident, and probably not the first one that's happened at that intersection. Maybe not with you, Marie, but yeah. So it's just not good.
No.
Yeah, so I wanted to say, I've just as Beth has done, just for research, I've been over there with my car and also with my my cycle, my recumbent trike, and I've driven and ridden that intersection in that area fairly frequently, and I have to agree with it. And we've, as of course everybody on the committee knows, and so I'll tell you, Marie, we've talked about Ocean View Drive at length, extensively, changes that we'd like to make, that we'd like to see the city make. We've had speed studies done, all kinds of things. So hopefully this will add some impetus to that effort that we've been doing. Ryan, you have a hand up.
Oh, whoops. Well, I was going to say, Spencer reminded us the other day that we had the Ocean View traffic calming options at an upcoming meeting this winter. I don't remember if it's Mondays or one of the meetings in December, but he got the message. We've kind of been trying to get on his case about a number of options, and sounds like Chris Janigo and Derek got together and gave us some options, or will give us some options at some future point, near future point. But yeah, I travel that road on my own and for work, and I echo that everyone's concerns are valid. And one of the problems is between about, it's pretty narrow there from about 20th Court going south to like, till it widens out a little bit there past the 15th Street Junction. Mm-hmm. And there's not a whole lot of room to add roadbed. However, the speeding and the traffic control issue I recognize can be addressed, as well as some calming measures, whatever those become. So my understanding is that it's an agenda item coming up in the next couple of meetings.
So, Ryan, are you going to be expected to, what will come of that presentation to the City Council?
I think they're asking for a consensus on next steps on a number of items they're going to present to us, and then we decide which are priorities and which we want to fund, is my understanding. So it's no longer preliminary. It's like they're going to give us some choices to implement. And then there may be a bidding process, possibly, or just an enactment of those recommendations is most likely is what's going to happen next.
Will you have the opportunity to add things like if you want a stop sign somewhere?
Well, we've already given those recommendations to Derek, and I believe at previous meetings, there was discussion of a stop sign at 12th at that three-way intersection there, which I would support myself, but I'm just one member. And then possibly some higher level speed bumps. And as previously discussed, possibly, certainly we should look into the mirror issue at the condo T intersection there at 33rd, because that is a high banked corner with high bluff bank on both sides of the road that really limits visibility. And then, you know, the gravel solution that Tim Gross put in when he was public works director has kind of failed. And so that's another thing we've brought up a number of times on fixing. Reinstallation of the sharrows, weather permitting, that was another thing that had been approved but hasn't been completed. There's so many, I don't remember. I think those are the main ones, though. I guess traffic calming, more enforcement from the police, as they're able to, keeping in mind that our latest great idea to, you know, fully staff the police and fire department was issued a temporary setback due to that measure failing. So anyway, maybe Beth, you could check the agendas and then let the group know when those items come up on the agenda so that they can tune in to those meetings. Perhaps that's the way forward at this point.
Yeah, I think it's coming up sooner than you think. I think it's in November. It might even be this coming Monday. You have one on the 15th, right?
Correct. Next Monday's agenda will be finalized, I believe, tomorrow afternoon because of Veterans Day. I think I saw an email that said the agenda will be posted by tomorrow evening for Monday's meeting. So maybe check that, and if not, it'll be at one of the December meetings. I know they wanted to get some clarification and action plans before the end of the year, so.
But I will also do that and send everybody an email if it's coming up on the 15th.
Oh, that'd be great. Thank you, Beth.
And I saw a hand from Jane.
Yeah, Marie, I was really interested in your comments about speed racers, because I live on South Jetty Road, and shortly after they hit you, they hit South Jetty Road. And so the times are very consistent with what you're saying. And I talked to the police before, and they said that there's a group of kids from Lincoln City, and they all kind of travel in a pack. So it sounds like they're going, that's part of their route. And they tend to come here on Friday and Saturday around dusk, you know, they tend to gather. And so I'm wondering if we couldn't kind of ask the police or whoever's, you know, I think it's been pretty regular. I've seen it for 2 years now. And when they come down South Jetty Road, they're sometimes going 80 miles an hour. And there's bicyclists and hikers. And so I'm wondering if we could get some of the traffic, the speed bumps or something here. Or I think the police know who these people are. They've been dealing with them for a while. And if we could maybe give the kids like a drag racing site or something, you know, because they can't come through, you know, town that fast. So anyway, I just raised it as an issue.
Thank you, Jane. Dick, you had something? You had something? I saw your hand go up.
No, I'm fine.
Okay.
I also sympathize because we used to live on Ocean View. And as I say, there's a drag race, and I thought there was an unwritten law that if you own a large motorcycle, it was required to go up and down the Ocean View every summer.
Mm. Then I just wanted to throw out for Marie, if you want to hit Beth up, and Beth, I give you my permission to do this, you can get my email address from Beth, and then I will send some information to you about that potential multi-use path that you discussed and some other things that we've talked about with Ocean View in the past. I don't want to put the pressure on anybody on the city council, but I can just give you kind of an overview of what our committee has discussed through spring and summer of this year and even prior to, because Ocean View, there's a reason the city council is kind of Ocean View, and it's because of us. We've been hassling them a lot, and a lot of the residents have been hassling them a lot. So we're really, really trying to get some changes. And it sounds like, as from what Ryan has said, that we're going to get those on the agenda and actually hopefully see some improvement, especially with the TSP being hopefully finalized early next year, I think. Whatever the schedule is now, it keeps slipping. But no, please do hit up Beth for my email address and send me an email, and then I'll get back to you with that information, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, that's no problem. But also, Michael, so you have a kind of an overview one pager type of thing?
I'll have to work one up. I have some notes and I can consolidate all that, clean it up and get that to you, and then you can share it as well. But Marie, you can contact me directly. I'm fine with that.
Okay, so I'll do both. But yeah, definitely send me a copy, and I want Ryan to have a copy.
Yeah. I'll work on that tomorrow. And getting that kind of consolidated and cleaned up. So
great.
I just want to piggyback on the speed racer thing that piqued my interest, because I experienced the same thing on Lighthouse Drive a week or so ago. And that's an area of concern for me. And I haven't had a chance to read the Yaquinahead traffic study results to see if they're taking that section into consideration. But I do think it's city jurisdiction, the section between Highway 101 and the kiosk on Lighthouse Drive. Similar to Ocean View, but a whole lot shorter. It's a place where a lot of pedestrians and walkers and bicyclists go, and people speed on that. And I think it would really benefit from some speed bumps. So hopefully I'm gonna do a little reading and then come back to the committee with just some thoughts around that.
Yeah, great. So you got the map. It shows a crosswalk in that area you're talking about, a couple crosswalks. I'm not seeing 2A is new protected shared use path to BLM property boundary, which is the kiosk.
Is that the map you sent out with the agenda that you're referring
right.
to?
Right. That's what I'm looking
okay,
at.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. I hadn't had a chance to look at that yet.
Sure. And 2E is new sidewalks connecting Lighthouse Drive / Highway 101 intersection to crosswalk near Northwest Rocky Way. It's looking really good. Look at that map again. It'll be exciting when it happens. Can we segue into this, or what do you think, Mike? I'll talk to you more about it later.
I'm good with segueing into that if we don't, because if we're done with this, we're on to committee comments. Yeah. So if we've got nothing more specific from Marie or for Marie, then we're on to committee comments, and I'm more than happy to take a look at this map and discuss it.
Well, I'm excited. I'm really excited about that map. I'm probably as avid a walker up to the lighthouse as anybody, and wintertime's nasty and all that. And the idea of putting that on the right-hand side of the road going up and the size that they're talking about, that's going to be a great addition. I can't wait for shovels to hit the ground on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Wanted to make sure that we thank Marie in case she's leaving. I see you're still there. So thank you so much. Really, we appreciate it. We have not really had this perspective of this part of Ocean View that I recall, the real north. So thank you so much. It's really important for us to know about that.
Yeah.
Really listening, and I'm going to stay on. I'm interested in the rest of your meeting here, so if my phone doesn't get too hot, I'm going to stick with it, but without video.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
And by the way, I was there at that same meeting, that same city council meeting where you were there. I came in the middle of what you were talking about, so I remember some of what you said from the notes that you've provided to us. So, and yeah, a lot of our discussion about Ocean View has specifically been more about the 25th Street to 12th Street corridor, but there has been some notes that we've taken about that crosswalk at the bottom of the hill, right there at the wayside and connecting to the park and the parking lot rather, and a little bit of the stuff north of there as well, mostly because that's the 35 mile an hour section that's so problematic.
Everybody, I have already told Marie that we have openings on the Bicycle Advisory Committee. So she knows. All right. Thanks, Marie. Okay. So talking about the what we call FLAP. It is, what's the FAA? Federal Lands Access Program. It is monies that are given to localities to improve their access routes to federal lands. So may know, the Lighthouse people themselves, the federal land, Yaquina Head Outstanding Natural Area. They are actually doing their own sort of work on making improvements, and they're also seeking public comments once in a while. They have already had public comment time, and they will be having more once they kind of have more of a plan, etc. I've already done it online. I said it should be people park their cars in the big parking lot and no cars elsewhere, but that's just me. Anyway, so Derek did this because there was a request for grants, for proposals for grants, and even though the Yaquina Head Outstanding Natural Area people have not finished their project, because he wanted to jump on this money. It is about 4 million dollars proposal. He's gotten matching grants and et cetera. So it's a really great application. I think it's going to go through. And but Dick, don't hold your breath. It's the money will not come through until 2024/25 fiscal year. So that's all I really wanted to let you know, that we're on it, and Derek applied last month. We have no idea when we're going to hear from them, but we do know when the money will come. Okay, so I wanted to tell you about that. I have a few things to go down my list. Is that okay, Michael?
Yes, of course.
The first one is maybe Michael can say more about it, but we will be submitting a resolution. It will be to the City Council, and it will be reviewed by City Council or presented to them on the 15th. The resolution is for us to adopt new bylaws, and also an ordinance, which is for the code to change to reflect 2-year terms instead of 3-year terms. Michael made the formal request, and I got to write my first resolution and my first ordinance. So that was fun. And so Derek's going to present it. Okay, so that's what's going on there. Let's talk about something nice. I'm going to put this on permanently. Okay, I don't know how to do it on this one. Okay, so anyway, the infrastructure bill, federal money, big money. Where's my notes? You may have gotten this email as well from the League of American Bicyclists. I will forward it to you if you, I can do that tomorrow. But I wanted to say that this is what's great about it. I'll just read. Here's what we got in the bill to build a new bicycle-friendly America for everyone. One, there are three things. One is a more than 60% increase in funding for the biggest pot of money that funds bike infrastructure in your community. Not sure what that exactly means, but to Newport exactly. Number two is a requirement that states with high fatality rates for vulnerable road users invest in fixing those deadly areas. I'm presuming that's mostly the big cities with the 6 and 8 lane roads. I wanted to kind of segue this into why we want to know about Newport crashes, because we do hear about fatalities, unfortunately. It makes the news, luckily it makes the newspaper, but we don't hear about a lot of other things. So, and the third thing is complete streets standards nationwide, which is amazing. Newport adopted a few years back, a complete streets ordinance, that is our goal. Complete streets have everything in them, not just a place for cars. And so that's real exciting for complete streets in every town. Now I'm going into and there's more information on you know, the exact bill, the wording, how it passed, et cetera. I will forward that to you tomorrow. So that's infrastructure, yay. Crash. We can talk about that a little later. It's down on the agenda about crashes. And today, I wouldn't mind if you guys approve the GNOs, and also, there's a worksheet on page 10 that you guys may want to do, kind of assigning tasks to people. So that's coming up today. And then also, Derek would be happy to visit us, and I think that would be a great opportunity for us just to kind of get to know him, especially since so many of us are new. I would actually kind of prefer that we wait until we're in person, just so it can be a little more personal. But you guys are welcome to invite him anytime. He would request that you kind of, as a group, or individually formulate questions so that he kind of knows what to address and how, you know, he's a little prepped, might need to bring information. So if you want to talk about Derek visiting or that, maybe we can talk about that, Michael, towards the end of this meeting.
Okay.
So that's all really I had to say. A few announcements they were and what we're going to be doing today. So go ahead, Michael.
Well, with regards to the infrastructure bill, ODOT sent out an email. They're looking at somewhere between $1 billion and $1.2 billion for the state for infrastructure projects for transportation. And a good chunk of that is going to go to active transportation. I'm trying to find, I had a link open and I think I've closed it down or lost it. I don't know. Something about some rules changes that ODOT is putting in with regards to active transportation for Oregon cities, 50,000 residents or above, which obviously doesn't include anything on the coast. But I don't remember all the details, so I'm going to have to find that. When I do, I will send it out to the group.
Yeah, ODOT sent out kind of a yay announcement as well, yeah. And I got that, and I can send that to everybody.
Hey, there it is. Proposed changes to state planning rules could usher in new era for Oregon City. So basically, they're talking about a lot of ways in which they're going to change the way ODOT has been doing business in a constructive manner. In the way they've kind of already been doing all along. Did we lose Minda?
Oh, she's in the waiting room.
I hope it wasn't for long. She's joining us.
Okay. I just noticed that she was gone. And then, of course, what else? So I do have some other links that I'm going to send out. Susan just sent me something from AM New York about changes to the Brooklyn Bridge that is have increased cycling extensively. I haven't had a chance to read it. I literally just got the email from her. So thank you, Susan, in case you ever hear this. I have a list of links that I'm going to send out in email. Things that I've been reading and following along with. I don't know. I don't have anything else really. Since we are talking about committee business, I have been trying to get in touch with Jacob. I know, Beth, you have been as well. And I've had no more luck with it than you have. So I don't know exactly what's going on with him. Given that we already have openings and quorum is an issue, I think we're going to have to proactively take a decision about what to do with regards to Jacob. I don't want to kick him off the committee, but I can't ask him to leave if he's not going to answer emails. So since we're already pursuing bringing in new members again and still and always, maybe we should be looking at least moving him to an alternate position. Until such time as we can get a more concrete answer from him as to what's happening in his life, especially with regards to the committee membership. So I'm going to put that out as a motion that we move Jacob to an alternate member position. And then a second motion that we ask Martha if she'd like to join us as a full time rather than an alternate, just to kind of, how do I want to phrase it? Clean up ranks. So if anybody wants to take those and second them, if we want to have a discussion about either of those, I'd be happy to.
I'd like to address the group that I mentioned to Beth earlier today that I'm going to give my notice to the group that I'm planning on leaving in January. And with COVID being over, I see some opportunities to do stuff where I think it might be a better fit for me. But what I wanted to suggest is that in terms of finding replacements, that we put out a request to the local high school and community college to get some students on. It would increase our diversity and also start to get some younger people on. But for a high school student to be on this committee, particularly somebody that had an interest in public service or urban planning, this would be a great opportunity for them. And they would also be able to put it on their college application. So I think that I would like to suggest that we recruit from one of those pools and replace me. And I will stay on until there is a good replacement, just to make sure that we continue to make quorum and do what I can to make a smooth transition.
Appreciate it, Jane. Thank you. And we're going to be sorry to see you go. But thank you for sticking with us until we get another person. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, second to both of those. And I didn't want to bring it up, Jane, because Beth had informed me. So thank you for doing that. But back to the issue, Jacob. So if somebody wants to, if we want to have a discussion about Minda.
Sorry, my computer crashed, so I can't access our code or bylaws, but don't we have some provision in there for members who are absent without reason?
Looking. We don't really talk about meetings. Here we go. Individual members are not obligated to attend more than 12 meetings in a given year. No, we don't really address it.
Okay. So perhaps we could make a decision now about our immediate situation and then use that as a precedent to change our bylaws, that we have something in writing about how we deal with this situation in the future. And I think sort of bumping someone down the hierarchy a little bit is a reasonable approach. You know, if we have an alternate vacancy, then we put the member to an alternate position. And then if they continue to not participate, I don't know what we would do at that point. Because we don't want to take up a spot where we could have somebody who's able to participate.
Yeah, it seems like we don't usually come up with this situation where just people just are no longer able to be reached to ask if they want to resign. So I think that's a good idea. If somebody wants to maybe send me a suggestion of an additional part of the bylaws, and we can vote on it next time. In the meantime, I can probably have the Newport City Council delay their resolution to have new bylaws.
I was going to ask about that, because if it has to go for the City Council to vote to approve and then the mayor to sign our bylaws, and we want to make a change like that, we should either ask them to delay that implementation or discuss that today and make that decision today. And I don't know that we're ready to hammer out those details necessarily.
It would be best to have something written down that we can all decide on next time.
Yeah. Okay, so let's put that on the agenda for next time, that modification to the bylaws. And Beth, please do ask the City Council if they would consider delaying until, I guess, I don't know, whenever the first meeting after our December meeting, whatever that's going to be for them. I don't know what their schedule is off the top of my head.
All right.
So
do you want me to take a stab at it or somebody else, please?
I'll take a stab at it. When I'm doing my Ocean View notes, and I'll take a stab at something.
Great.
To modify that.
Yeah. So you get an idea of what we would want, what the goal is to not have us stuck like this.
And, you know, I think we can discuss the exact terms. I'll just throw out that right as the beginning, if you're a full-time member and you've missed, say, three consecutive meetings, especially without any reasonable explanation thereof, then there should be a contingency for a vote to move you to an alternate position. And then maybe six meetings within a year without, you know, some kind of explanation. Like kind of a forced resignation. I don't know. There's just
that sounds pretty lenient, but I'll let you guys decide at the next meeting.
I'll just write it down and I'll shoot it to you and you can put it on the agenda and we can discuss it at the next meeting.
Maybe you could phrase it as you'll go into inactive status, and that way you're not really firing somebody, but they're just no longer getting the invitations and they just kind of fall off the wayside.
I can understand wanting to do that, but that puts the committee in no better position than if we just leave the status quo. There needs to be an impetus that allow, or something that allows the committee to say, look, this person is not participating and we cannot make contact with them and they're not participating with any kind of notice. We need to have something that says, you know, we reserve the right to boot you and put somebody in your place. Minda?
The three meetings, I think six is too lenient. You know,
again, just numbers off the top of my head.
If you don't cooperate at all for three meetings, that's a lot of disruption.
Okay. Linda? So Mike will come up with something that's a little tighter, a little meaner.
Yeah.
Well, just in the interest of being efficient, not having to start from scratch next meeting, I also, three meetings is fairly standard, I think, for other boards and committees I've been on. And I think taking a vote at that time sounds like a good approach, because then we can figure out if we even have any vacancies to move the member to. If we don't have vacancies for them, we might choose to just remove them from the committee.
Okay. Then I'll write it up as three meetings, and then we take a vote and make a decision based upon circumstances on the ground at the time of that vote. Okay. That still leaves us with needing to make a decision about Jacob. So I guess we can put that off until the next meeting as well. And hopefully, knock wood, get some kind of contact with him. I'm not counting on that.
Mailing address for him where you could send him a letter?
I don't know that we have a street address. I know roughly where he lives.
I have, I think I have all his information. It's also, we can... Last time I talked to his mother, I have all her information. Michael, did you try that?
I tried both him and his mother, and I'm not.
Okay.
It's just silence. So I don't know if maybe, you know, it's an unsolicited email from an unknown address. It could be just going to her junk folder. But I didn't get a response from her.
Okay. All right. So I will try to find an address for you, Michael, and... We can go from there. I don't think I can. Okay.
Okay. So that's that. If anybody else has anything to bring up regarding committee business.
I do. I did reach out to the high school, the leadership, the adult director of leadership. I'm not sure what his title is, but he came in on another issue. And I said, oh, you work for the high school. And so I'm in the process of, I did send him a description of the job and et cetera, kind of a little flyer. And he's going to send it to the right folks and see if he can get it published in one of the, or go out in emails or whatever the high school does. I really am not connected. And if anybody is connected to anybody who's in high school, or also a parent of an elementary schooler, that would be great too, as we try to reach out to the schools for safe routes to schools and other programs.
Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, I have something, but also I know Thomas is the parent of a high schooler, so he might be a resource for that. When he gets back. So I think some of you have probably been aware that there was an Oregon Senate Bill 320 passed
by the legislature in 2019 to make daylight savings time permanent. And then that might go to a federal, new federal regulation that called the Sunshine Protection Act that does that across the country. I have a lot of personal reasons I'm opposed to that, but I'm bringing up because one of my concerns is bicycle and pedestrian safety in winter mornings in the dark, and going to permanent daylight savings time would create an extra hour of darkness in the mornings in the winter when the weather is the most cold and icy. So I just wanted to bring it up. I don't know what the committee thinks about it or if we wanted to do anything. It's not set in stone yet. I'm going to personally write to my legislators and request that they refer this to the people for a vote, because I think that would be most appropriate since it will affect all of us for the rest of our lives. If the committee feels like there is a bicycle safety issue or pedestrian safety issue here, perhaps some of us can reach out more formally, or even if anybody has any statistics they think might be helpful to show that that would increase hazards in morning commutes for bicycles and pedestrians, I would invite people sending that to me personally, and I'll just add it to my personal letter. So I just thought I'd mention that.
As a group, did you, or perhaps the group is interested in writing a letter as well?
Well, you know, this thing pops its head up every year. Now, if I'm not mistaken, we voted a couple of years ago and was passed to do away with this. And then suddenly California and Washington became involved until both of them got on track with this. But when that happened, then Oregon would get off of the bandwagon of this change in time twice a year. So I'm you know, had this come up in our meeting here. I don't understand the purpose of it necessarily. But I thought that was also, we're just waiting on time and governments to do their job.
You know, the worst part about this discussion is that it's long been a part of federal law that any state who chooses to, and Hawaii and Arizona both have and have forever, simply not opt into daylight savings time.
Right.
And there's now, I think, 19 states across the country that have said, yeah, well, that's all well and good, but we want to do daylight savings time all the time. It's, I don't know.
There's some reasons why it was voted on and not implemented. I don't want to take time to go into that. Yeah. There, you can find that out online pretty easily. But I think the question is that daylight, I think a lot of people just don't understand the issue that it's daylight savings time. They're not just saying we're going to go back to standard time, natural time. No, we're going to savings time, which changes everything. It shifts everything by an hour later. So it's going to create a lot more darkness in the mornings in the winter. And I just think that that's a safety concern.
I would definitely agree with that, given that, you know, we as a society continue to insist that kids need to be getting up and going to school at 7 o'clock in the frickin' morning.
Right.
Where there's really no logical basis for that anymore. But I was. So
I don't, I just want to personally give it some thought, and we can talk about it another time, but I just wanted to bring it up because it's been bugging me.
Martha?
There's been a fair amount of analysis on issues, especially across a time zone. So you basically seeing the difference between one versus the other. If you look at statistics on the east side versus the west side of a time zone. So there's a lot of data out there. And some of the stuff I've read recently is that there's issues with more car accidents in the evenings because it's dark. Personally, I'd much prefer to be on standard time always, but there's a lot of different issues, and it might be interesting to just really concentrate on the pedestrian and bike pull out all the data that we can on that for emphasis. But it's obviously a much bigger issue than just pedestrian and bike. They're also talking about more heart attacks, all sorts of different really interesting issues. So I would be more than willing to comb through some of the literature and work with you on that, Minda.
I would love to have a professional statistician on my side. Thanks, Martha. All right. Well, I don't want to take up any more time with this, but thank you for hearing me out. And yeah, if anybody's interested, reach out, I guess, to me.
Okay. And then if anyone else has anything you want to bring up, otherwise we can move on to, I believe we had one crash in October.
Right. And you can read it for yourself. It's in there. This is the first time, I think, where I have requested more information from Kit, who is the communications officer with the Newport Police Department. She gave me the whole officer's report, and I'm thinking, this is wonderful. Can I have it in the future for every crash? And so she kind of... I'm going to ask my boss. So that's where it's at. I think crashes are terrible, but we need to know about them because we need to know hot spots in town, and we need to know other things. Like, okay, it sounded like this person was probably incapacitated by... who knows what, but the person just went straight into an intersection full speed when the person had a red light. And so, you know, we need to know this kind of thing. Maybe we need to protect all people, not even when they're not all there. I think it's real. To me, it broke my heart whenever I read any crashes, because it means that the city of Newport is setting people up for disaster, and I just hate that. So anyway, there's my reasoning for why we need to keep track of crashes, and it's nobody else is in this city. So I guess if I don't hear from the police department, it might be nice to have a letter from the bike ped. I'm just staff, you know, and I can't do all that much. But if bike ped makes a request, a formal request, perhaps we can start getting more information. In addition to the future, I wouldn't mind seeing past crash info. So that's just a thought. I'll get off my soapbox now. You guys can decide what you want to do about that, if anything.
I was just online today looking at safety statistics, or attempting to find some. And Bike Portland has a page on their website devoted to crash statistics. But they get them from the police, but they're everything. So I'm going to guess that they have the same issue we do with kind of filtering through the statistics to find what's relevant to bicycles. But if someone is working on this project, they might reach out to Bike Portland, and since there's such a well-established group, and see if, you know, how they've dealt with this same issue, and if there's certain ways to phrase requests to the police, or, you know, certain types of data that are most desirable, that sort of thing.
That reminds me, City of Eugene has a crash map. I just have notes about that. I must have looked at it at one time. They have a Vision Zero policy, which Newport doesn't have, which means zero fatalities. I would like to go further to, I think it's zero fatalities and life-changing injuries. I would like it to go even further to injuries. But so anyway, Vision Zero is a wonderful idea, concept. It needs to be followed through. It needs to be decided by city council. It needs to be pushed, and then staff will respond. So that's one route of doing that. Are you listening, Ryan? Any comment, Ryan?
I'm multitasking.
Oh, I'm that was facetious. I knew you were listening. I'm just
I
just mean
I'm in favor of
what do you think of Vision
that type
Zero?
Of thing. You just have to get Spencer on board because those agendas are so packed. We're trying to we're in a period of time where we're having 6 to 8 hour meetings. That's just too much.
Got it.
For no salary and no prep time, that's too much of a meeting. And so potentially fitting those in with city staff to where the agendas are balanced, I think would be a nice way to approach that, to get it in, get it in front of us. But I mean, we're going to listen more if it's a shorter meeting.
If you guys want to get behind Vision Zero, it's a big deal. And maybe you can work with Ryan to figure out when the iron is hot. When's the best way? When it may not be now. It may not be for 6 months or a year until it's really something that the city council wants to embrace. This is something for BikePed to think about.
I definitely think the idea of Vision Zero should be something on our minds for pushing for the city of Newport to do. Obviously, there's already a lot of things that we are pushing for, but that doesn't mean we can't work on that concurrently, I think. Ryan, if you'd like to, we can work together and try and find a good time to do that. So you let me know.
Safety improvements should be a priority for sure. That aligns well with some of the Vision 2040 stuff and some of the council goals for this current year. Keeping in mind, we have 3 years of council goals that have only been probably addressed maybe 20% because of, we'll use COVID as an excuse because it did reduce staff and meeting opportunities. But anyway, that should fit in there as an agenda item. I'd be supportive of that. Melanie and Peggy draft those meeting agendas. So any communication about adding an agenda item, you should carbon copy both of those fine folks.
Well, you can direct it towards me and then I can send it to the right people. I think at this point right now, it's best for BikePed people to really decide if this is something you want the city to do. And, you know, you don't want it to be a hollow motion, just a matter of putting it on the agenda and saying, yes, it's a big deal. And we also need to think about how BikePed can help the city council to fulfill those goals. And, yeah, I think, Ryan, with COVID, with TSP not done yet, it's probably not the best time. Not that it's a bad time, it just meaning there will be better times to do this. And I think BikePed needs to educate themselves about it. And you can really advocate for it if that's what you want to do. So just kind of a back burner thing, just about crashes in general.
That was my question, I guess, is just quickly, is Vision Zero for all crashes, including vehicle crashes, or is it only ones that involve a bicycle or pedestrian?
Michael?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm actually looking right now at a PDF called a Primer on Vision Zero, Advancing Safe Mobility for All. It says Vision Zero is a strategy to eliminate traffic fatalities and severe injuries among all road users and to ensure safe, healthy, equitable mobility for all, first implemented in Sweden in the 1990s, where traffic deaths have been cut in half, even while the number of trips increased. Vision Zero is gaining momentum across the globe, including in many U.S. communities. Each year in the U.S., more than 40,000 people, an average of 100 per day, are needlessly killed and millions more injured in traffic crashes. While often referred to as accidents, the reality is that we can prevent these tragedies by taking a proactive, preventative approach that prioritizes traffic safety as a public health issue. There's more to it. I'm trying to get the chat window open on Zoom so I can drop this in there and you guys can download it quickly. Otherwise, if I can't figure that out, because I don't know what I'm doing with this.
I don't think we have that opportunity because it's a public meeting.
Okay. Then I will add this to the email that I've got, that I'm going to send out some links later tonight. So you guys can read through it. And then I'm trying to remember where I found this from. But when I do get that, I will send that as well. But they do have a website called visionzeronetwork.org. So that would be a valuable place to look if you're interested in that.
Yeah, my initial hit is if it's, this is too comprehensive for the BPAC, really. If it's all about traffic safety, we can't dilute ourselves that much. We really need to stay focused on bicycle and ped. And there might be some way that Vision Zero can support us in that goal. But if we start looking at vehicle crashes, we're not going to get anything done.
Really good point.
And I will agree with that, only to say in semi-rebuttal that the way in which Vision Zero has been talked about and implemented in a lot of cities in the U.S., it has been specifically focusing on active transportation safety improvements, much more so than for all road users safety improvement idea. And this is just from some of the other things that I've read about Vision Zero and the way American cities are typically utilizing it. But then I will also note anecdotally, because I don't remember the source, that since Portland has implemented their Vision Zero and their 20 is Plenty campaigns, they've actually had more active transportation crashes than they had before. I'm not saying that that's something that's detrimental to the policy in total, but again, it's just a bit of an anecdote that doesn't count as a data point because that's not the point.
Yeah. But everywhere, it's become really bad. Read the book Right of Way that came out in 2019. It's become worse. Yeah. And I have something I should send you all about SUVs. I want to send it to City Council too. I'll go ahead and send it. It's talking about how SUVs and those big vehicles with their outrigger rear view mirrors are just the worst. Okay, end of discussion on crashes.
Yeah, so on to other business. League of American Bicyclists Bicycle Friendly Community College memo.
I wanted Herb to talk about it, but he's really has a good excuse. Yeah. And just read it. It's just so that you know, and so we have in our record that this is happening, and Herb's being pretty proactive. Another one of those things we all should be educated on, and maybe he can present it next time.
Yes, I think there was a brief discussion when he brought it up before about possibly taking this to the green team down there. And I guess I can reach out since I was in the meeting with them before. I know Thomas has more familiarity with the group. So I believe he's worked with them in the past. Of course, he's not here to talk about that either. So let's go ahead and just have everybody give that one a peruse, and then we can talk more about this one the next meeting when Herb and Thomas or both or one of the other are here. Yeah. Okay, so goals and objectives.
Okay, I'm writing this down. Next agenda, just a second. Okay, so I would like you to go to page 11 of your packet, start there. Basically, if you haven't read this already, it's a memo, it's the beginning of a long memo sent to all staff, et cetera. And it's talking about goals and objectives. That's why I really wanted you to go through the goals and objectives exercise on page 9. So this will be eventually presented to the City Council. So now I want you to go to page 9 and I really wouldn't mind if you guys officially voted that these are your goals and objectives for next year as well at this point.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it. There's been great work done on this. I'm so impressed. Very good job.
Yeah, I think our goals and objectives worksheet right now is very solid. I do like this. Actually, this kind of goes back to the whole bylaws thing, because as was noted in the discussion before the city council, that Peggy, I guess, found an older version of the bylaws from 2007. And that older version actually had the goals and objectives within the bylaws. I'm very happy to see that they're separate, and that makes the goals and objectives a much more living document. That said, I think we've got a runner here. I think it's a very good set of goals and objectives. It's one that could, you know, as we meet them, we can knock them some off. But, you know, there's having those goals as kind of our permanent forever goals would not be a bad thing either, because this is, again, a very solid document, I think.
Yes, really good. One suggestion is to put periods on the end of everything consistently.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
There or not there, one or the other.
Perfect.
But other than that, I would definitely say, since we've got a motion and a second, that I will take a vote to approve the Bicycle and Pedestrian Advisory Committee goals and objections 2021 to 2022 for the 22 to 23 fiscal year as well. All in favor?
I approve.
Okay. So then we have a unanimous approval.
There is one more thing after you did that.
Of course.
I will need to change, or I will omit the dates that are in parentheses, because they won't apply for next year.
Yes.
Okay. Omitting the parenthetical phrases. Okay. Moving on. Page 10. So, you guys don't have to do this time, but I threw it in here because part of goal 4 is to have better relations with other groups, city council, etc. I think it was Michael's idea that maybe each of us could be a liaison to these other groups. It might just involve reading their minutes and agendas, or even just their minutes, and just kind of keeping track. You don't even have to notify anyone, but it would be great to have, for me, frankly, to have you guys looking at the other groups so that one hand isn't doing, you know, knows what the other hand is doing. And then if there's something that pertains to us, bring it to us, or even, you know, pick up the phone and talk to a person from that group and then bring that conversation to us. Just kind of a connection. So that's my reasoning. I'll let you take it from here, Michael.
Yeah, so I do think it's a good idea. We kind of have cross-committee liaison relationships. I've already reached out with Parks and Rec, and I've sort of started to think about the Police Advisory Committee. I don't know if that's necessarily going to go anywhere, but I'm looking at their various meeting minutes and the like. So if we want to, I'm looking at the 8 that are listed here, 60 plus, Destination Newport, Library, Parks and Rec, Planning, Police Advisory, Public Arts, Vision 2040. Of course, Thomas is doing the TSP, which I know that's not like full. That's not going to be last forever, obviously. But so everybody kind of wants, if we want to just kind of parcel these out, if anybody has any ideas for other committees that should be on or off of this list as appropriate, I think it's a great idea that, you know, we have greater cognizance of what these committees are discussing that might overlap with what we're doing. And as Beth said, we don't necessarily have to be doing cross-committee meetings all the time or participating in what they're doing, just kind of being aware of what's going on. The only thing I would add to this is the currently defunct Wayfinding Committee. If that ever gets stood up again, then we need to be on board with that, I think, as well as Bike Ped, because that's directly impactful for what we're doing, because, you know, a lot of that wayfinding stuff is bicycle and pedestrian related. So anybody has any feedback on this? I'd love to hear it.
I think this is a fantastic idea. Without knowing what they do, I'm not sure why a library board would be of interest to us or public arts.
I'll explain why.
Okay.
I was thinking that library, I don't know what exactly they do, but it would be nice to be aware of outreach that they have with children and any connecting with in that way, making active transportation part of, I don't know. So I guess that's what it is, their relationship with the community. And they have a very good Facebook page, I believe, so kind of linking with that. The other one is public arts. I kind of have a vision of the idea of making public art functional, bike racks, et cetera. So that's why it would be nice to have somebody just kind of watching what they're doing and getting to know those people.
Go ahead, Martha.
I think it's a fabulous idea, and I don't think it would take a huge amount of time for us to keep track of just a couple of committees. Public arts also, you're looking at potentially walking tours to see various things. They're talking about doing the murals, having a walking tour of the murals. There's some overlap on things like that. 60 plus advisory, I'm sure, access, walking access, whatever, handicap access is always coming up at there. So I think that it won't be a huge amount of overlap, but I think all of these committees are great. The one thing that I'm not sure about is whether or not we would want to get involved with more private, or I should say non-city sanctioned, or I shouldn't say city sanctioned, but I'm thinking of the Nye Neighborhood Association, which is the first neighborhood group, and there will potentially be more, but I don't know whether or not we would want to have connections with them and other groups, because usually these neighborhood groups form because of safety issues, because of access and things like that. So I don't know whether or not that particular goal would need to be expanded to include other than formal city committees. Just a thought.
I would think if we did that, and I would be supportive of doing that, because I think it is a great idea for these neighborhood groups to know that they have our ear within the city. I would rather have that as a separate goal than tie it in with our goals and objectives for relations with the city council and other city committees. Okay. I think those two things should be kept separate. But I do support that idea. Jane, did your hand go up?
Yeah, I just saw a lot of opportunities for cross-fertilization here. One of our goals was to make sure that we had some good bike maps everywhere. And I could see, you know, if we could have a link, you know, somebody that takes maps to Destination Newport, the library board, Parks and Rec, 60 plus.
Dick does that.
Oh,
yes, I do mostly. I do the hotels and motels. Ran out about 6 months ago and can't get any from the county right now. But I've been doing that for a couple of years for the county. Yeah.
The other thing is we had talked at one point about maybe thinking about a bike fest, and that could tie in really well with Nye Beach Neighborhood and the Public Arts Committee. And then one other thing is, have you seen Quest? They're like, it's a really cool idea. And I think we've got a couple in Newport, but you could do bike quests, which would be a little bike tour of the arts and, you know, the interesting sites for somebody that's new to the community that they could take, or maybe even from a hotel, do a bike quest and a little map that shows them a bunch of stuff. So I just throw that out as there's a lot of interesting things that could be cross-fertilized here.
I think, Jane, I think you're talking about, if I'm reading you right, you're talking about the Oregon State University Oregon Sea Grant Quests program?
I'm not sure if that's what it is, but okay. I worked on one in Florence where it was like a little, there's a booklet and there are activities, and it's basically a family will buy the booklet, and there's a bunch of them. And it's a guided tour with activities, like to go discover something. There's one that goes, I think, on that trail from Agate Beach to Big Creek Park. And it points out interesting little features that you wouldn't notice if you didn't have somebody local that had pointed it out.
That is the Sea Grant.
Yeah, I have that website. I will send that website out. It's in my list of things to come out to you guys.
Yeah.
So I'll look for that later tonight or tomorrow in your inbox.
Coincidence, I just bought the book at the Maritime Museum this past weekend.
Yeah, I really enjoyed working on creating them, and it would be a fun project to do for Mike.
We could even do something where we have some within the city of Newport that we produce to go with our bike maps.
Well, Kent Goodwin does it for the families, so I'm sure we could connect with her to possibly expand it.
That would be great. It's a great idea. I think it's a great idea.
Getting back to the worksheet, I wouldn't mind if we assigned people tonight.
If you want to do that, put me down for police advisory and parks and rec, because as I said, I'm already on those.
Great.
Or looking at those.
I'll do 60 plus.
Okay.
I'm interested in Vision 2040. I'm trying to look online and figure out when they meet. But I can at least read the minutes like you suggested.
Perfect. I hear there's one coming up. I get the announcement. You all can, I've told you this before, you can go to the city website and you can get announcements from, and you just check. I check everything. So whenever any meeting's coming up, I get the email. So that, I remember 2040 is coming up.
It's interesting to see actually how some of these have 1-year terms, some are 4-year terms, some are 5-year terms. They're all over the map.
Destination Newport, Library Board, Planning Commission, Public Arts Committee, Wayfinding Committee when it happens. We can leave those open for next week, next month. What do you want to do?
Let's go, if nobody else wants to volunteer for those right now, let's go ahead and take the ones that we've got, fill in those names, leave the rest blank, and we'll finish this next meeting.
Yes, because we are coming up on our deadline. Two more people. Okay, yeah. Great. And the last thing I wouldn't mind is kind of a brainstorming of what you want to know from Derek and or anybody. Public Works Director, we could invite for Q&A. We could invite the new city engineer. We could invite the police chief or a representative of the police department. But starting with Derek, I think Jane had some questions, and the last few pages kind of describe that. But she kind of had questions about who does what, when, all that, jurisdictions, how bicycle ped decisions are made, I suppose. Would you say that, Jane?
Probably even more basic than that, which leads into that chart thing. Are we ready to go to that or not?
Yeah, let's do that. Yes.
Okay, so we talked about wanting maybe a visual aid to the manual, and I decided to take that on just based on what my own experience was coming in as not only a new person of the committee, but also new to Oregon and Newport. And so this is my very first pass at it. And basically, I was hoping to work with Beth as the subject matter expert So none of this information is very accurate right now. It's just a first pass concept of something I would like to add to the orientation manual. So if you look at the PowerPoint, there's a couple of drafts on here.
Page 14.
Yeah, and so this, the PowerPoint, there's four slides in here. The second one is actually the more refined version of where I was going with this. But it would be this page. On the left-hand column, we would have our responsibilities and our goals, you know, what we're doing, what we're working on. And then on the right-hand side of this are just the relationship of all these different organizations that we're working with and we get funding from. So when somebody brings up Vision 2040 or the TSP, we kind of know what box it goes into. And so it's just a visual link. And then in the bottom, the city of Newport, it shows not only the Newport stuff and the South Beach urban renewal, but also the private committees, our Lincoln County Bike Committee, the Hatfield Marine Science Center Green Team, the Newts Bike Newport. So all of these that we interact with would be somehow or other in on this, in these boxes. And then the back of this would be the maps. The fourth page are the maps of the proposed things that we're working on. So it might have the ocean view or something, just something so that when we're talking about these things, a newbie can look at this chart and say, oh yeah, that's a state thing or this is a city thing. So we don't need to really do anything on this. It's just kind of a rough concept right now, something that I'd like to stick in the manual for new people coming onto the committee.
Thanks for all that work. That's a lot of work. And I, like we talked about, I will be sending you edits this week, next week. Okay.
Yeah. I figure, you know, I'll give it until January, and we'll just kind of tweak on it a little bit and then bring it to the committee for a review once we have the details in that we want in here.
And if anybody has any comments as well or wants to, they're welcome to, they could get involved in the email discussion with Jane and me. Just let me know.
Yeah. We just send you things, you know. And again, this is just kind of purely from a selfish point of view that this is the stuff I wish that I had in one spot when I started, because it was all such a mishmash to me for so long.
Well, your wish list is pretty much what mine was, too, and you're a heck of a lot more organized than I am. So, Beth, please CC me on your discussions. I'd like to
know. All right, great.
And thank you, Jane. Thank you.
So basically on the concept, you guys, are you okay on the concept here? Does it look helpful? Is it worth continuing?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That leaves a little time to think about who you want to talk to and what you want to ask of them.
I would love to have our new public works director. I'd love to have him at one of our meetings, because we had public works previously come to our meeting in past years, and we haven't had a chance to speak with the new person yet, and I'd love to do that.
That is David Powell. Okay. I think it would be fair to have an idea of what you want to ask of him.
That I don't have any bright ideas on. But with an idea toward having him, I'd love to have a discussion about what we'd like to talk to him about, what we'd like to ask him or share with him. Minda?
Well, just very briefly, I think what I'd like to get out of these initially is for them to share what their role is, what they do, what their role is at the city, who they interface with, the types of projects they work on, if there's some way for us or the public to interact and influence them, or, you know, that most likely would go through the city council. I think we've discussed that. But for me, it would be kind of an introduction of who they are and what they have responsibility for.
Agreed.
How traffic changes occur, maybe?
Yeah. And with regard to Public Works, you know, we talk about, like, we could talk with him about, you know, how some of these ideas that are coming through on the TSP are potentially going to get implemented and what kind of timelines we start looking at in the event that some of this stuff does go forward, when it does go forward, things like that. It would also be worth having a discussion with David Powell. Is that right? Public Works.
About
our proposed multi-use path that goes from Ernest Block to Ocean View. Cause I would love to have, I'd love to have him take a look at it. I'd love to have his input. Now,
is that the group that also addresses public lighting, like the lighting to the downtown area?
Jane, I didn't hear you clearly, but you said you were asking about improving lighting for downtown. Would David be involved with that? Okay.
Yeah.
I will write that down.
Yeah. Any place where it's really dark, where there's accident. Prone areas because of the lighting. It could also be Ocean View Drive. One other thing I think would be interesting is to talk to the police, have them come out. And I'm kind of curious after Marie's discussion and also Minda of the Speed Racers, you know, if this is a situation where when we start putting together all of these little pieces, there's something going on there. And I wondered if there's a way to bring some attention to it from the walking and bicycling community and ask them, you know, how could we address things like that?
I don't, you know, with regards to that, Thomas has mentioned before in discussions about Big Creek Road that he's aware of street racing that happens on that, especially later in the evening hours.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like it's becoming clear to me that there's a loop that these kids are doing that involves going down Ocean View, down into the South Beach area, and then back up and coming along Big Creek. And they're looking for these little used, out of the way, windy, narrow roads as a challenge or something like that, if I'm trying to get into the psychology of what they're thinking as they're doing this. But I'm wondering if there's a way in talking to the police might be how to do that, to figure out if this is the same group of people that are doing these kind of street racing things in all of these different areas.
I'm sure, I think there's an organized group because I see the same cars doing it, you know, every weekend.
Oh, I believe you. I totally believe you.
Oh yeah, I can tell you, I can describe a lot of the cars. And the cops know those cars too. Like I suggested, there's one green Volkswagen with a black top, and the guy immediately knew who it was. And
getting back to talking to officials,
yeah.
That's great. I wrote it down. But so you suggest that David Powell be the first one that we invite, and when would you like to invite him? Would you like to wait until it's in person? What are your thoughts as a group?
I would like to wait until we can have an in-person meeting with him, rather than doing this over Zoom, especially with a new guy. It'd be nice to meet him in person and actually have just, you know, some questions and answers, and then just an open-ended discussion with him, because Public Works is involved in so much of what we do and implementing the things that we want to implement, like bike lanes and sidewalks and lights and all of those things. So
I might suggest
when that would be.
Okay, that's a great idea. I might suggest that actually we have David Powell and Aaron, the new engineer, at the same meeting, because they are so interrelated, and all these questions I wrote down, I think actually Aaron can answer better. So perhaps we can have a joint thing since they're both new to Newport. And, you know, it may have to be a few months at this time. So
that's fine. If we look at scheduling it out toward the spring, when hopefully again, knock wood, this sort of resolves itself and becomes a little bit more sane, then we can look at having a joint meeting in person with both of them sometime in the spring. And that gives us some time just to actually think more about what kind of questions we want to have for them.
Sounds good. It's 7 o'clock.
Yes, it is. So last minute, anything from anybody? Marie?
I just want to say this work is fascinating. I'm maxed out, so I completely cannot help you out, perhaps maybe a few years down the road. But this was all highly interesting. And do you have a way, I know you're short-staffed already, but do you have a way to reach out to the community, like a monthly newsletter or I hate to say Facebook page or something that could say, hey, this committee's out there. We're working on safety on this road or...
So the city has not committed to doing a Facebook page for much of anything that I'm aware of. I know the Newport Police Department has their own. I have, as the committee chair, set up a kind of very, very, very unofficial. And I don't update it a lot, and I don't have a lot of people following it. But there is, if you look for the Newport, Oregon Bike Ped, or Newport Bike Ped, I think it is on Facebook, you should be able to find it. But if you get my email from Beth, my email address, I can send you a link to that. Okay. Martha?
Thank you.
There is a city e-blast that is put out. I would imagine if the committee wanted to submit things on a quasi-regular basis, I would think that they would be open to that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. It's very unofficial right now. Who is responsible? I really hope, Ryan, we get a PR/website person on staff. Is that ever going to happen?
Well, we've requested that position, like a public outreach person, and so far that position has not been created to this point. But I would say the city's lagging significantly in social media presence. And you can let the city manager know that, as that's a priority of the committee.
Michael, want to send a letter?
When we do goal setting for the 22 fiscal year coming up here in March, feel free to remind me to make that a council goal or suggest that it is.
I will do that.
I think we already have that. In the last 2 years, I think that I know Councilor Hall brought that up a couple times, that we need to do more. That's where people are on their phones. And so we need to, speaking of which, I was having trouble with that new Water Smart thing. And it said enter your zip code. And I did to sign up for the new Water Smart program, which helps you keep track of your meter since the meters are Wi-Fi enabled. And, they sent a letter to everyone in the city, but they didn't really vet it. And they won't accept 97366 as a zip code in their system, even though a big portion of South Beach is in the city limits and has 97366. The same thing happened with the Rec Center software. So I think our two IT people are stretched a little thin on beta testing programs that go out to the general public. I mean, I'm verifiably a technophobe to some degree, but I thought I could figure it out. And I ended up emailing the general mailbox, and I haven't heard back from the city on that. But I think it's been a long day. I lost track of my train of thought. But
we need staff for IT. I think
the social media thing is a big hole in our mission for sure. Yeah, I agree with you all on that.
We're getting an audio visual AV person for to be part of. IT, we have two staff right now. We're going to get three. It's not only social media. It's the website is a disaster, if you ask me. It's very hard to get anything done via the website. Anyway, with that, Michael, you want to take it away?
Okay, and confirm our next meeting is December 13th, so second Tuesday of December. I look forward to seeing you all again then. And if there's no further business, then I will call the meeting adjourned at 7:04 p.m. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you.
Bye.
have an excellent evening.
You too.
Okay, Beth, for you, just please do make sure Marie gets my email address, and then I will get her that information about the issues that we've had with Ocean View and the discussions that we've had with Ocean View, the PDF for the multi-use pass, and that Facebook group link. So.
Yeah, you have a lot to do.
Look, yeah, I do.
There'll be a lot of correspondence.
I hope
tomorrow.
I remember all of it.
if you forgot, I wrote it down, so I'm okay. Happy to remind you.
Yeah,
I might just do that. Okay, Michael, that sounds good.
All right.
You do a great job, by the way. Nobody tells you this, but you do a fantastic job. I don't know what we'd do without you.
I try. I feel like I'm flailing and drowning all the time, but I try.
Are you kidding me? No, you're great. You're great. You're hiding it well. Okay.